percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hey there. Year is winding down already. Does it seem like we should be ready for 2018? But yes, we're almost ready. And we've got the great capper to the year, the big UFO bombshell that dropped recently. This is for mainstream news media. This is disclosure, okay? So people for years have, like Stephen Greer, some of the other guys who, Stephen Bassett, some of the other guys who've been saying, we need disclosure. Come on, get up front. Give us the data that we know you're doing this. We know what's happening. You're studying UFOs. You're studying all this stuff. And you probably back engineered everything. And there's all sorts of stuff out there that we have that we're mistaking because we don't know that it's already been invented. Well, the cool thing is the story that Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, and Leslie, I've interviewed her before. It was on Conscious Living, but I interviewed her before about her book, UFOs, Generals, and Public Officials on the Record. That was a 10-year project for her, a really on the cutting edge, fringe, before anybody else had it, expose of what the officials behind the scenes had been saying. And that this stuff, they who are in a position to know what kind of military assets we have, either the USA or international, are seeing things that they can't explain. And to the best of their knowledge, we don't know what it is. That doesn't mean it's ET. It means it's unexplained. So going to the next step, though, the stuff that Edgar Mitchell was involved in prior to his death was trying to get people who had experienced some kind of encounter and beyond just seeing, but an interaction of some kind, trying to document and log those kinds of experiences. So with this news, this comes out that the Pentagon has had a black ops project from, 2007 to 2012. The only reason we found out about it was because the guy who was in charge of this was irritated in October that it wasn't being taken seriously. And if you see the video that they play with the guys, the pilots discuss, I think at first they think it's a drone. And the guy says, oh, that's a drone. And then it's like, no, wait, it's going backwards. And then they describe the wind speed that this thing is going against without any kind of issue. And one of the quotes, I think, is, I don't know what it was, but I want to fly one. Yeah, sign me on. But that's what's so fascinating about all this. So the stories broke. I put them on Wendy's Coffee House, the blog spot, some links to that. Also some links about some other stories. There's the Chuck Zukowski. He's a UFO sleuth. He also happens to be the brother of the person who is in charge of MUFON in Missouri. And he is the author, co-author, the guy that the author Ben Mezrich was following for the 37th parallel. And they get into other stuff like the cattle mutilations and really weird, unusual, and just kind of disconcerting. What the heck's going on there? And the link is that Missouri and Kansas are both along that 37th parallel where they've had issues. And talking recently with Lynn Andrews about her just kind of off-the-cuff remark about that happening now in Hawaii. So stuff like that going on. Anyway, just those things to keep track of, and those things are kind of, I think, fascinating getting us into 2018 because there's more where that came from. Robert Bigelow, the guy who has boodles and boodles of money and is just also happens to have had a close-up in terms of his own family engagement with it since he was a kid. His grandparents saw a UFO. All right, what more do you need? It's like, grandma and grandpa saw it. Hello. All right, glow-in-the-dark sharks, new species. In Hawaii, this is great. So stuff we discover more on our planet every year that we don't know about. That's the fun one. And the other one is that for people who are needing an assist as they get older. In the works, the new technology they think coming on the line probably in the next 10 years, along with your ability to speak with your dog. He's a cat that's an AI, automated, alternative approach, intelligent pet, a cat that you can that will keep track of those kinds of things that older people need, like maybe medicine or maybe call your daughter, that kind of thing. My guest, this is going a whole different direction, but kind of along the same thing, unexplained and happening right under our nose that we don't have a whole lot of, I think, background, but we're getting more comfortable to talk about this. One Voice, Sacred Wisdom, my author is James Schwartz, and James has been listening to this. James, okay, I'm just going to throw this at you. UFOs, did you talk to any of your people about UFOs?
People who come in and they want to do regressions because of UFO experiences, or I've also have people whose guides are what they call aliens.
Okay. Okay, so this isn't, I wanted to clarify that before we went down the rabbit hole, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now the deal is, with James, and what we're going to get into is a little bit more of the metaphysical element. And One Voice, Sacred Wisdom is the book. That is the name of the book. And he's a board-certified hypnotherapist. We'll get into more of what he does and what all goes on with this in the break. But as he mentioned, that regression therapy and those kinds of things, this is a fascinating piece of work. And just the whole way that it unfolds and gets into parallel timelines, after-death experiences, and these other basically esoteric kinds of things and topics that we don't always get to talk about. And that's why we're here, all right? So stick around. Again, if you want the links and that kind of stuff, it's going to be on Wendy's Coffee House. And the information, the links for Robert Bigelow and the book and the New York Times article, all that good stuff there. In the meantime, we're going to go a little bit further over the edge into the interesting and fascinating and unexplained that we have right under our very noses, okay? With my guest on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.
What is the explanation? Who knows?
KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Thank you for tuning in, whatever year, time zone, dimension, universe you're in. Glad to have you along. My author, James Schwartz, is a board-certified hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner. And you can connect with him at the Rocky Mountain Hypnotherapy Center in Lakewood, Colorado. Now, what you practice is a little different, and that's what I wanted to have you explain to start out with, your process, because this isn't just the usual. It's a little bit, I get, is it beyond alternative alchemical hypnosis?
Well, that's primarily what I'm using is alchemical hypnosis when I'm talking about the book One Voice, Sacred Wisdom. And in alchemical hypnosis, what happens is that the client is asked to bring in a guide that can assist them, and they're working with their issues. And that client might be a guardian angel, it might be a spirit guide, it might be an animal guide, it could be a ball of energy. It's whatever feels comfortable for them. I never tell them what to bring in. They bring in whatever is right for them. And then we have some conversations with that guide, and the way the book came about is I started asking questions like, what happens when we die, or how do we heal ourselves, or is there such a thing as karma? And then the client would get the answer from the guide and then relay that answer to me.
Okay. Now, this is, there's some other people who've done something similar, and I think it's fascinating because mm-hmm. the kind of information you get isn't exactly what you would expect. What was the most surprising?
Really, I was most surprised by the consistency of the answers, because the person in the chair could be somebody who was Christian, or they could be Jewish, or they could be atheist, or they could be metaphysical, and they could be talking to a guide that was maybe an angel or a spirit guide or Jesus even. And so, but the answers, no matter what the source or no matter who was in the chair, were probably almost, you know, in the range of maybe 96 to 98% of the time, the same. So there was such incredible consistency with the answers, and that's actually how I came up with the title, The One Voice. And then, of course, what they're doing is they're sharing that sacred wisdom with us.
Well, I think that's fascinating. After reading this, in some of the responses that the people had. There was one I read. She was, her family was extremely more Christian oriented, and she was like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. And then the guide that came through for her was actually Jesus. Like, oh, surprise.
It's actually funny because a lot of the people who really are, Jesus didn't come necessarily for the real strong Christian people. It would come from maybe people who were exposed to like Catholicism, or, you know, maybe they grew up Methodist or Lutheran or something, and they'd kind of let go of that. And so they thought, well, okay, that part of my life's over, but then here comes Jesus for their guide.
Yeah, see, that, I think, okay, what was their response, I guess, when that happened for them?
A little bit of surprise. In fact, there's one woman I talk about in the book where it's kind of a denial thing. It's like, this is who he said he is, but I don't really believe it could be that, because she had some, I think she might have been from a really strong Baptist religion or something, where she was, you know, felt like it was kind of oppressive, and so now here comes Jesus in to be her guide. But usually they're very accepting, though, after a while. First there might be a little bit of resistance, but then an acceptance. But the other thing for me that was kind of good about that is that tells me that session's more authentic when I know somebody's kind of wanting to deny what's going on.
Well, and that, I saw that too, her hesitation of no. And it's, in a sense, it's like, well, I'm not worthy enough to have this conversation with the person who, or the entity or whatever it is who says they're talking to me. But it sounded, the kind of information that came through sounded very loving and exactly what you would expect.
Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much across the board. The guides are always there, like saying, we're here to support you, we're here to give you love. Actually, their main message is, we want to communicate more with you. We're wanting you guys to reach out and connect with us and communicate with us.
When you were, and this is part of the book, when you were doing some of this, you also got a little bit of a thing that said, don't try and second guess what everybody else wants to know from this. This has to be your project.
Yeah, I had, at one point, a lot of times at the end of a session, I would say something to the client like, you know, I'm going to ask your guide if there's anything else we should know. And for some reason, I had asked the client like, it, you know, or anything that you're wondering about or whatever. And that's when I got sort of this strong response that basically said, no, Jim, this is your book, this is your project, and in asking those questions that interest you, it's going to interest your readers as well. So make it personal, make it about you, and you're going to kind of grow with this project.
What I wanted to know, too, is that there, you get into other things, and I'm just going to overview here. Why are humans on the planet?
Yes.
The lives predetermined, and different dimensions. And then do we stay connected to others who are around us? There's a whole lot of stuff in here that I can't cover in 1 hour. So the highlights, where would you start?
Well, I think probably by saying that our spirit, our soul, our energy is immortal. And so it doesn't go away. We have these things that we say when somebody passes, like, you know, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry about your loss, like it's all over. But it's really not. In a sense, it's almost like the beginning, and there's so much more going on out there in, you know, whatever you want to call it, the universe or the ether or whatever. There's so much more in terms of dimensions and realms and existences that we're not even tuned into. And that's what kind of opened up for me, because I really wasn't sure when I started this project if I necessarily believed in those things.
All right, so then let's go right back in, because that brings up that parallel plane and that people can actually exist in two places at once.
Yes.
See, that's a mind-boggling.
It is. And I can tell you a story about how that sort of got started, if you like.
Yes.
Well, I was, when I would ask questions of the guides, a lot of the time what would happen is they would either talk or sort of intuitively give the information to the client, and the client would relay it to me. But there were guides who would take the individual on kind of a journey, so to speak. It's like, let me show you, let me have you experience things. So, for example, I had one woman, I had asked a guide, what do we do to make our world a more positive place? And what he did, she goes, oh, well, he took me to this group. I'm in the circle of people, and we're all holding hands, and we're singing, we're praying, we're putting this good intention out to the universe. So the answer to your question is that if we want to improve what's going on in our planet, we have to do that with our consciousness. So she went and experienced. So I have this other client who I call, and this is in the book, I call her Danielle, and we had just sort of started uncovering this information about parallel planes, that we could be in more than one place at the same time. And so I'm asking her about that, and she gets very quiet, and then all of a sudden she just brightens up, like she just, you know, you could see her kind of come to life, and she starts to whisper, and she goes, oh, he took me to this different plane, and it's very high, it's very light, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay, tell me about this, you know. And she's saying, it's very hard to talk. The frequency is very high, the vibration. It's taking me time to get used to. And so she kind of stops and she goes, so he shows me that's the answer to your question. He took me to where I work at night. Although I'm here on Earth physically, I can be at different planes at the same time. And so that's the way the question was answered, was like, here's two planes that I'm on simultaneously. And he answered the question by taking her there. And for me, I mean, that was really exciting because it opened this door. It's like, okay, great, now we can talk about this, and I can have, if the client's willing and the guide's willing, we can go to these other existences and they can see what it's like and they can relay the information to us.
Well, okay, what's really interesting, I'll get into what she says. I had an out-of-body experience, and I do remember it because I remember the cord, and I'm thinking, this is so fantastic. I'm flying. I look at the Earth. I'm leaving it far behind, and I think, okay, I'm good with this. And then it was like, I'm going to go check and see the birth of a star. I want to go see the birth of a star. I don't remember having a body. I do remember having the cord. And then I thought, you know, I don't want to do it alone, so I better go back now. And so I followed the cord, and then I realized I'm back in my body. But that moment of having that out-of-body experience and knowing I could go anywhere I wanted to go, this is what she's experienced when she said the vibration is so different. She's a star. She's in this experience. And that, I thought, bingo, bingo.
Yeah. And the star piece is kind of interesting because that's, when I have people go to other existences, that's probably the most common. And, you know, I don't know, I'd have to guess at the percentage, maybe 33% of the time people do go to an existence where they are kind of like a star in the universe. And so what you were going and what you were interested in doing is you probably had some kind of desire or longing to be, to connect with that other existence. And that's, you're probably like, okay, I'm going to go there now. But then maybe fear or something, you know, one of the human qualities came in and pulled you back.
The alone, the think of, I want to do this with somebody else. I want somebody else to experience this with me. So, and it wasn't lonely. It was a thing of, this is something that's going to be super cool, and I really don't want to just, you know, be by myself with this. And that's unusual for me. I don't mind being alone. So it's like, oh, cool. Nobody says no, okay? You know, you can explore. So that was, but that's the thing about this. When you're getting into these and you're talking at this point, they're saying that they can be animals, that the, you know, you can, and that's, you know, transmigration of soul. That's also talked about in this too. And I guess I'm looking at the clock. It's winding down. I got a minute left, so I'm going to have to take a break here. But coming back to that and coming to, do people connect and travel with their other people, their grandparents, their sisters, their brothers, you know, because they get worried about, I'm going to lose my husband, it'll be over, and what happens then? How does that work in some of these experiences? Okay, can you open with that when we come back?
I absolutely will.
Okay, yep. Okay. Author James Schwartz, and if you want to visit him or get some information about how this works, Rocky Mountain Hypnotherapy Center, Lakewood, Colorado, because this is fascinating, and it's an opportunity. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to put yourself at risk. You get to experience in your mind a sense of being, a sense of connection. And I guess we'll also get into the difference between having this channeled, which some of the people channel it, what the difference is between channeling, and then when they're talking to their guides, because that also is part of this and how this hypnotherapy works, alchemical hypnotherapy. So it's a little bit different, all right? You're listening to KCMO Talk Radio. This is Wendy's Coffee House. And we're just kind of exploring stars and beyond. KCMO Talk Radio will be back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Just traveling without leaving home. One voice, sacred wisdom, revealing answers to some of life's greatest mysteries from your guide, spirits, and angels. James Schwartz is the author, and he's done some traveling of his own. Okay. Well, when people are concerned about dying, and we have such an issue with, you know, that fear factor of, uh-oh, I'm going to be judged, it's going to be negative, I've got karma, I've got baggage, I would prefer not to talk about this with anybody, let alone God. But these are some of the issues that keep us from ever even experiencing, exploring, and coming to terms with the fact that it's kind of like there's no escape. It's a done deal. We've already died before we got here, because that's part of the game card. So these experiences help people to get a different appreciation of what might happen for them.
And I've had one guide put it kind of in an interesting way, where it said that if we could only remember, we've died like thousands and thousands of times before, and it's no big deal at all, but we just don't remember that in our human minds.
I had a regression therapy, and it was one of those, you're done, okay, quickly, and I was so indignant. I was irritated because I had things to do, and they cut my life short, and the feeling of that was I was just perturbed. And, you know, as I'm coming, floating up, seeing this past life and seeing the body, me, underneath, I'm thinking, that was just rude. That was rude. So of all the things you could feel, you know, as an after-death experience, and, you know, that was, I was surprised that, and I probably carried some of that with me. But just, so the deaths are part of it, okay?
Yes. And I think what happens is we come onto this planet and we have kind of a life plan. In other words, this is what we're set to do. And so you could have been perturbed because you might have got to the point where it's like, oh, this is getting cut short. I didn't get to finish what I set out to accomplish.
Yeah. It was in the middle. It was in the middle of it. And this happened to be, in my best, you know, awareness of it, was like the French Revolution. And so, you know, a lot of people were dying. Mm-hmm. I was just one of them.
Yep.
And it was a decapitation, which is like, oh, there it goes. And I was having a therapy session at the moment. And she said my head, it was like it just got lighter and fell off, you know, just completely, because I was so into this regression and the memory of it. And mm-hmm. I also happened to have a birthmark at the back of my neck. So, yeah, so there's a whole lot more that goes into that, throat chakra, all that stuff that cleared as a result of that past life memory. Mm-hmm. But that's what you also talk about with the people, the experiences. Once they have it, they were saying, oh, thank you. You know, we're so grateful. And you were thanking them and saying thank you for your help, and they turned it right back and said, wow.
I originally thought when I started this that, well, if to get people to come in, I'll probably have to give them, you know, a free session so they can work on whatever else is going on in their life, or maybe even a couple free sessions. And as it turned out, once people started to experience this, they would tell others, and before I knew it, all these people were coming to me saying, I want to participate in this project. And part of the reason, one of the things that I try and do in the session is let the client experience what it's like to experience that complete love and light and support that's coming to us from, you know, the universe or essence or energy, whatever word you want to use. And so it's almost a process where they get to fill up their body with that energy and experience what's that like and what that's like. And boy, so many of the clients said, this just, it felt so awesome. It was great. It's a little bit like what people describe when they have near-death experiences, and they say, wow, that was really amazing what I experienced, and I have no fear about passing on or anything now, because instead I know that there's this incredible love and support waiting for me on the other side.
And I think that's the bonus of this, too, having that energy boost, that sense of connection, the oneness that they get. There's a part in here going back to the, do we stay connected with our pals, our peeps, you know, the people, families, if we'd like them.
Yeah, right.
This time around, you know.
Oh, even some you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprise, I was actually helping you. I know you didn't appreciate me.
Yep.
Well, I like the way they describe it. The guy, we're like geese. Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he says, like, you know, if you watch geese, if you observe them, they hang out together for a while, and then some of them will leave the flock, but then they'll probably come back, you know, in a few days or whatever, and then they might get separated again or go off somewhere else and come back. And that's the way we are as well, because we have this, what we call a soul family, and these are the people that we're close to, and we'll reincarnate with them. And so in one lifetime, you might be, you know, somebody might be your best friend, and the next lifetime they might be your sister or something. But we are sort of, in a sense, contracted with them to help each other grow and evolve. And so sometimes they're going to even be minor antagonists in your life as well to try and get you to figure out something or learn some lesson that's going to help you evolve.
I know a bunch of those.
Okay.
I only appreciate them after I figure out what was going on. I'm like, oh, shoot, I kind of missed that one, didn't I? I'm sorry. Oops. And it's like, oh, well, okay, fine. It all goes forward. But yeah, some of your biggest lessons come from people that you wish would just leave. And they don't until you figure it out.
And once you figure it out, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a parent that's kind of rejecting you or something, they might be doing that to help you to learn to really go inside and love and acknowledge yourself. And so what I see, at least in the practice, is I think it's carefully orchestrated and it's all agreed to. It's like what they call karmic contracts, that you have an agreement with that person to reject you, and then that's going to help you evolve. And so even though they might be not doing the nicest things this time around, if it helps you really grow, it's worth it. It's a win-win for everybody.
I have two that really stand out, and that's part of it. It was that thing that as long as I continue to fester and blame and shift and, you know, look at the other person, clean up your act or quit doing this to me, that was a problem. But once I realized that it wasn't about me, their actions were more about them. I just happened to be the recipient and looked at it from a different vantage point. It took a while. And, you know, you're going through all these emotions and stuff at the same time, but then you go back and go, oh, wow, why was that such a big deal? And it really shifts your perspective. The thing I do want to get into in the next break, there's so much in here that I really think is worth exploring. So if you're listening, James Schwartz, again, board-certified hypnotherapist and Rocky Mountain Hypnotherapy Center. The book is called One Voice, Sacred Wisdom. But the next issue I'd like to cover, that understanding the concept of time in the universe, because that I think is incredible, especially if you've ever had a time shift of any kind, if you've experienced it, this is what gets even more fascinating of what your clients discovered as they work through this. Are you good with that?
I am,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, and then I'm going to throw one more in there, animals. How's that? Just a little kicker.
Okay.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. There's so much more than we can cover in this hour, so if you're listening, put it on your read list, your listen list, and come back to it when you can. We're talking with, again, James Schwartz, and this is Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Now, the thing is, even though I'm talking with James Schwartz about the other experiences, there are some, in the book, some exercises you can do to get yourself in kind of a state where you can experience maybe an altered state of reality, an altered perspective. But we're going into the concept of time. And what stood out from dealing with your... And, you know, I should ask, how many people are in this particular book? How many clients did you glean from?
Oh, gosh. Well, I started actually doing the alchemical work almost when I started doing hypnosis, so that goes back like 14 years. But in the book specifically, it was probably about 100 people who came in specifically to do this work. But I've had people who've come in. You know, if you'd come to me 5 years ago and said, I just lost my grandmother and I'm really distraught, I'm really struggling, I would have had to probably bring in a guide at that point. We would have talked to the the guide about that.
Okay.
And so I've been doing this work for forever. So these answers, but I, you know, as far as recording everything and transcribing them, all the words and everything, it was, you know, maybe like 100 something.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
But when you tried to do a composite where if there were seven similar answers, it would just be one. I understood that, so it wouldn't be redundant.
That's it, is that I could only pick one or two, and literally sometimes out of like 100 answers, I could only pick the couple that maybe really summed up the message that the guides wanted us to get, and those are the ones that I would use.
Okay, so they summed it up with time.
Yeah.
What was the answer?
Oh, gosh. Time. That's a biggie, and it's kind of funny because what the guides kept saying is there's no time, there's no time, there's no time, and then we got this all this information about parallel planes, and so that we're in all these different existences at the same time, and for me, it's like I had done reading and watched videos and things on parallel planes, and I just never really bought into it. So it wasn't something I accepted. And so I would ask the guides about it, and they would explain. They would kind of say it's difficult for the human mind to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But think of it this way. And then I'd kind of go, that doesn't exactly work. And I'd come back the next session, and I'd go, I think I figured it out. Maybe it's this. And they'd say, well, not exactly. But then finally I got a guide that really explained it well. And what this guide said was that we can think of ourselves as like a power station. And when I say ourselves, what I mean is like our higher self or our energy or our essence, like our core energetic being as a power station. And then from that power station, there are all these arms or branches that kind of go off. And it's just like a power station would, you know, there'd be these different wires that go to different houses. Mm-hmm. Instead, this is going to be like branches or arms. And at the end of each one of those arms, there might be a ball of energy. And each of those balls of energy is an actual existence that that person is having. So some of those arms might go off to this planet, you know, like to present day, to, you know, you might have an arm that goes to being windy right now, but then maybe you have another arm that's going to a past life, and you have another arm that's going to a future life, and you have another arm that's going to another realm or existence, and maybe even another arm that's going to another universe or dimension. So all those existences, according to the guides, are going on simultaneously, but it's all kind of orchestrated or connected to this one higher self that's the power station.
You know what the picture I get of? Is it's a dendrite. A dendrite. It's like the little branches of extensions, nerve cells and stuff like that. So you're like part of this huge webbed thing. Amazingly enough, web.
Yes.
That was a roundabout way of coming back to the obvious. Okay. Next.
Yep.
Okay, so the power station, though, and that's when she's talking about the vibrations and the frequency being harder for her to acclimate and having to shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we're in these human bodies, and it's difficult. There's a lot of problems we have with that, is because we can't. Other existences might be very different vibrationally. And the other thing that's a problem is that we want to kind of hang on to our humanness, and our way of thinking sometimes can be very limited, and that blocks a lot of the information we could potentially get. I would hear that from the guides quite a bit, is that, you know, you're wanting to apply human logic and rationale to some concepts that aren't necessarily all that rational.
Okay, so it's higher math without the equations.
Kind of.
Yeah. Kind of all jumbled together. Okay. So, all right. The other thing I wanted to get into before we went out of time, the animals, because you were getting information about the animals and their connection to Earth as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all, some of those parallel planes or dimensions, you know, some of those balls of energy that are at the end of the branches or the arms that go from the power station can actually be inside animals as well. And that wasn't uncommon for somebody to experience what it's like, you know, being in an animal body or whatever. And it's different from, we think of, like, in terms of karma, that some people say, oh, you know, you work your way up or whatever, and, you know, an animal's not evolved as a human. But that's human logic. That's not really the way it works. So your part of your energy could be inside an animal, and that may be an animal that you really resonate with. So if you're somebody who really loves big cats, you know, like jaguars and leopards and things like that. That might be that you've had that experience, or you may even be having that right now in embodying inside one of those large cats.
Well, and to bring that into another perspective, there was a question about souls, and you were given the information. There's no such thing as an old soul. They're all the same age.
Yeah, because we've been, it's really more about how evolved are we. But yeah, since our soul or our spirit or energy or essence, whatever you want to call it, is immortal, we've all been here for a long, long, long time, it sounds like.
And why are we here?
That's a good question. Well, we're here on this planet to learn and evolve. We're here to grow and evolve our soul. And the thing is with essence or energy is that it needs to experience different things. It has to work through us. And so that's a good way to think of energy. It's sort of like, you know, if you think of a misty cloud or something, that might be the energy or the consciousness or the oneness. And as that cloud, it can't experience love necessarily or build a house or something. It has to go inside people so that it can experience and grow and create things.
Okay, now we're winding down. You're hoping to train other people to do this kind of hypnotherapy.
Yes.
Are you working any on that? Because at the back of the book, that's what you're saying. Hey, contact me. I'm ready to teach this.
It's difficult. The problem is there's a lot that has to be taught that goes into this, and one of the things is how to create a very safe, sacred space so that any client that walks in your door, there's so much protection around you from, you know, in terms of guides and angels and things like that, that it's very safe for them and the guides would feel welcome. There has to be a pretty strong spiritual connection from the individual who's being the facilitator as well.
Okay.
And so there are some things that I want to teach, but it's just a matter of logistically, how do you figure this out? You know, with our logical minds, how do we do this and really teach spirituality? It's not something you can just sort of do by the numbers. You know, it's not where you can just say, oh, okay, here are 6 steps I can apply this. It's something where the person who's doing the work has to have a certain energy and a certain connection, and then there has to be, like I said, protection around the environment and everything for that to happen.
Well, and you even said in the book that not everybody had these experiences, because you would ask a guide the question, there would be silence. Nope. They're not ready to know. We're not going to...
Yeah.
No busting the illusions just yet.
And they will do that a lot of times, especially if we ask... Because I'd use this for other things as well, but if I ask a guide something like, what does Wendy need to do? She's interested in, let's just say, she has a new job opportunity and she's interested in that. What should she do?
Oh, wow. Wait. Now, this is like the... we have to stop because we were going to ask the guide. This is okay. A cliffhanger. I got 40 seconds. We got to get out of here.
Okay.
James Schwartz, author, One Voice, Sacred Wisdom, and Inquiring Minds Want to Know. Always. Thank you for talking with me.
Thank you for having me on the show.
I appreciate it. Okay, we're going to get some people your way. How's that, kids?
Okay.
This is one of those things that we are here to do, involves expanding our awareness and our consciousness and growing and imagining and being and becoming. And this is part of that equation. So thank you for listening. I appreciate you for, tagging along. And I appreciate you for listening for the podcast, too. WendysCoffeeHouse.com. Check out the links on the website. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.